Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heard on the Street, Street Fights podcast, where we uncover the stories behind the companies, and more importantly, the people that constitute this sector of media and advertising that we all call local. So where are they from? What makes them tick? What business and life lessons can we draw from that? So I'm Mike Boland, lead analyst at Street Fight, and our guest today is Catherine Tabor, who is founder and CEO of Sparkfly, which is innovating the retail point of sale as a key component of marketing strategies and customer experience. So we talked to Catherine from our studio in San Francisco about that journey and what we can all learn from it. So here's our discussion with Catherine. So Catherine, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's great to be here.
Yes. So we have a lot to talk about, including diving deeper on some of the things I just mentioned. But first, let's start with a quick intro on you and Sparkfly for those unfamiliar.
Right. So, well, so Sparkfly is a company that I founded. I'm the founder and CEO. And what we do at Sparkfly is we are a real-time item level attribution platform that connects the in-store and above-store point of sale systems and in-store systems in general, finance and business intelligence, with third-party digital distribution partners. So loyalty providers, email providers, SMS providers, social media, marketing channels, digital ads, and really help retailers and QSRs develop a real-time attribution ecosystem between their in-store transactions and their customers and their third-party distribution partners.
Yeah, that's awesome. And attribution is such a hot topic these days. And one thing that we always have to kind of remind the world of at Street Fight is, you know, the statistics that the vast majority of consumer spending, especially in the U.S., to the tune of about 90%, is happening in offline, physical brick-and-mortar retail locations. However, digital media through our, you know, phones and desktops and various other channels are increasingly driving that offline purchase. So it's that classic online to offline and connecting those dots. So I think there's a lot of interesting things there that we can sink our teeth into. But before we do that, let's, as we'd like to do on this show, find out a little bit more about you and kind of start at the beginning and hit the rewind button. So I want to hear about kind of the beginning of your career and how you got into all of this, like the path that brought you into the world of tech and media. And you have kind of an interesting, like, superhero origin story, as it were, in terms of like the founding, or at least the founding of the precursor to Sparkfly during your college year. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it is a bit of a humble beginning. And it's interesting because truly, you know, the journey that I've had, all of it has built up, you know, to where I am today. So I enjoy telling the story because I think it really shows kind of the organic growth of the idea. But I am a serial entrepreneur. I've started several companies in my career. The first company that I started was an errand running concierge business that I started when I was a student here in Atlanta. And my parents had graciously paid for undergrad and wanted for me to kind of earn money in my graduate school career. So I was running errands and walking dogs for people to earn extra college money.
And this is way before the on-demand economy and things like TaskRabbit and, you know, other things that we see prevalent today, right?
Yes. And I was newly married and my husband worked for an internet design firm, and they built a website for my errand business for, I think it was $600 at the time.
Nice.
And at the time, the Coca-Cola company, as a large employer, had realized that they could go to their employees and offer them discounts on movie tickets and Six Flags tickets. It was really a big ticketing business as a benefit for being a Coke employee. And really, they were sourcing that content or these tickets from their own customers. So it was this great kind of merchant employee ecosystem that they were running internally. But the HR department decided that they wanted to outsource that employee discount program. And they did a national internet search. And I had no idea what SEO was, but my concierge business there in Atlanta came up in that search. And
And it was a nationwide search. They ended up finding you right under their nose, geographically speaking, it sounds like.
they talked to a lot of big firms actually in this process, but they reached out to me and they didn't tell me who they were, but I had caller ID and I knew that it was Coke. And I answered the RFP like a term paper, honestly. And long story short, I ended up getting the contract to
Nice.
manage this employee discount network for Coke and all their employees. And I realized pretty quickly that large employers all kind of had this kind of employee perks program going on. And so, my first thought was to go raise venture capital. But I was 26 and Southern and female, and I didn't have any business experience. I didn't really fit the mold. And so I kind of started bootstrapping the company and started making phone calls and adding other companies onto that employee network and added Delta Airlines and SunTrust Bank and Emory and built that employee discount platform to manage discounts for about 1 million employees nationally.
Wow.
And it was a great lifestyle business for me for a long time. But about 7 years ago, I realized that online coupons, which is a lot of what this kind of employee discount network was, had become totally commoditized. You go to RetailMeNot and get a coupon code. And what was really interesting and special to both the consumers, these employees in this network, as well as to the merchants who were offering these discounts, was this idea that they could put this digital promotion out and into a network, but then track the way that that promotion performed in the physical store. And so, I was naive. I didn't realize that that the point of sale world was so fragmented and challenging. But I ended up finding a company that had been started with an investment from News America Corporation and had really done some of the first clip to card, kind of coupon to card technologies in the grocery space. And partnered with that company and pretty quickly realized that there was something special there in the ability to really track this kind of online to offline world. And they had been astute in filing and being issued patents as they were building a server-based platform that connected in real time to point of sale. And at that point in time, we partnered and built some technologies on top of it. And then I spun out the employee discount program. It's still an independent company that is owned. My husband actually runs it today. But raised capital and acquired this other business, and really Sparkfly was born. And decided to go and then tackle this point of sale. Online to offline attribution space.
That's great. That's a great kind of lead up to the present. And we want to go a little bit deeper on Sparkfly next. But before we do that, while we're still kind of talking about you and some of the life lessons that we can kind of glean from you for our audience, one thing we like to discuss on the show is what I like to call cross training. So whether it be, serendipitous or whether it be a deliberate kind of range of skills, the executives we talk to always have just such a unique mix of skill sets, whether that be technical, whether it be just kind of managerial and strategic and marketing. And a lot of that was kind of in the story you just told us. But to kind of sum up, what does that mix look like for you? And the reason we like to ask that question is, as really just kind of a lesson to would-be entrepreneurs or younger entrepreneurs that are looking to kind of cultivate certain skill sets. Like, what do you see as most important, and what do you attribute a lot of your kind of success in that journey to?
Right. Well, I mean, I think that the thing I probably most attribute my success to date to is tenacity and grit. I mean, you have to learn to hear the word no, and know that no means maybe no right now. But I think I have a 13-year-old daughter, and one of the most important lessons that I'm trying to impart on her is this idea of, not giving up and having grit, because I think that is one of the very most important characteristics of success. But I think, as I went through this journey, because I've been an entrepreneur really my entire career. And so, you know, there are all these different aspects of the business that I had to learn, right? I had to learn how to put together a pro forma and you know, manage budgets and growth and manage people. Goodness, you know, how you really get the best out of people that are around you by truly empowering them to do their jobs and hiring great people and trusting them to do their jobs. So I think, you know, it's really not giving up and surrounding yourself with people who have skills that are beyond yours and trusting them to do the work that you've hired them to do. And trusting yourself too. You know, I again, as a young female entrepreneur, you know, been a lot of doubters along the way. And so I think really learning to trust myself was something that was an important lesson for me to learn.
Yeah, those are good lessons. We're actually going to pause there for a quick commercial break. When we come back, more with Catherine Tabor. Hello, everyone. This is Mike Bolin, lead analyst at Street Fight, and I'd like to talk to you today about Brandify, which is Street Fight's parent company. It's a local marketing company that provides a range of services for brands with brick and mortar store locations. So that's everything from retail stores to restaurants and moving companies and banks and healthcare providers and several other verticals. And Brandify manages the digital outposts where most consumers encounter these businesses today. So we're talking Google Maps and Facebook, Yelp, Apple Maps, and Bing. And the name of the game is really to create a compelling presence on these sites and apps and to engage with consumers more effectively using advanced reputation management tools. And this is all really compelled by the fact that 97% of consumers regularly search online for local businesses. So brands today can't afford to be missing from all those channels or lack multimedia content or contact information or visible responses to customer feedback. So Brandify synthesizes and optimizes all these channels through a local marketing platform. And it's all about standing out and winning the loyalty and lifetime value of tech-savvy consumers. So to learn more, visit Brandify.com. So we're back. My guest is Catherine Tabor. So Catherine, before the break, we were talking all about you and the backstory of you and of Sparkfly. So that kind of brings us to the present. So now let's kind of go one level deeper on Sparkfly. You mentioned a lot of context about the lead up to the company. In your introduction, you told us at a high level about the, you know, the importance of attribution and other things. So let's unpack that a bit. So tell us more about kind of the value proposition, the points of differentiation, in like helping your customers kind of transform and modernize their point of sale. And then really to kind of like, you know, provide it a little detail, let's talk about the actual suite of features, kind of where that begins and ends, the different components, and how that's kind of packaged and priced for your customers.
Right. Okay. Sure. So yeah, so you know, as we've talked about, so I've been focused on this intersection of the in-store and digital world, you know, for over a dozen years. And I think, you know, one of the things that it's been so interesting to watch is just this explosive growth that's happened in strategies and tools that enable merchants to interact with customers, right? There's so many different loyalty providers and digital marketing providers out there that are giving so many opportunities to merchants. But it's opened up a big challenge for these merchants in that, you know, they're kind of three things that they really struggle with, I think, at a high level. The first one is how can they be nimble, right? How can they go to these providers and test and learn quickly in a thoughtful way? Especially as it pertains to the intersection of the point of sale system. These retailer point of sale platforms are complex and integrations take time. So how can they really be nimble and test and learn with all of these different innovations that are out there? And then how can they take this learning and really craft that into a cohesive and impactful digital strategy and plan, right? How do these different tactics come together to help these merchants on their path to successful digital strategies? And then the third is really once they know their plan and they have ideas of what's kind of working for them, how do they scale? How do they really grow these platforms in a way that reaches, millions of consumers? And how do they also, hold these vendors accountable? They're building these ecosystems with, all of these different third-party partners. And how do they really make sure that, they have these scalable solutions that are really working for them? And if they're not working for them, how can they easily transition them? And so, Sparkfly really addresses these issues in a elegant and way of really removing that friction for the customer. And we do that by building this real-time, bidirectional, item-level interface to the in-store systems, and we have this intelligence layer, this intelligence platform that then through our APIs can go and connect with all of these different third-party providers. So, we can power a loyalty provider or an SMS provider and really easily allow those different third-party vendors to interface with these in-store systems in a way that doesn't require a 12-month integration project, right? So it's great for our customers because, again, they don't have a huge investment in these providers, and that they can go out and plug them in and unplug them if they're not delivering on their promise, right? So that's putting a lot of power back in the hands of these customers or brands, that we're representing from a customer standpoint. So really, we're developing this ecosystem where all of these different distribution vendors can then really interface in real time back to the customer systems, both in-store systems and now, increasingly the above store, the online ordering platforms too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said a few kind of key words there. One is integration, and the other one is kind of reducing friction. And I think reducing friction is, of course, such a success factor when we're talking about local merchants. But back to the integration point, I think that's interesting because, it aligns with a lot of the data that we collect, the survey data that we have, where local businesses, year over year, they're working with more and more different digital solutions, whether they be like back office things or whether they be marketing suites or just the different digital tools they're working with to run their business and for customer acquisition. So with that, growing universe of things, I think the need and the value around integration is that much greater. And it makes sense that the point of integration is at the point of sale because it's like the last kind of piece in line and chronologically in that like value chain. So it makes sense that like that's where the integration happens.
And it's been elusive, right? I mean, there has been so much innovation on the customer-facing side, right? Around tactics on, the right message to the right customer and segmentation, and there's been a lot of advancement in that. But the in-store systems have in some ways been the Achilles heel in that, they are these legacy systems.
And
They
that's where
are,
everything falls down.
yeah. And so being able to solve that challenge in a very turnkey way for these or for our customers, for these retailers, and in a way that enables them to then go and empower these other vendors to understand ROI and that real-time attribution has just been a huge advancement for them.
Yeah, and it seems like, having integration from the start is easier than integrating with kind of existing solutions. So pursuant to that idea, it almost seems like you're truly a platform. I think the word platform is thrown all around a lot, but truly a platform in that you can have, almost like an app store of preferred, vendors in all of these other functional areas that merchants work with that you're already kind of pre-integrated with, and the merchant can just pick and choose almost like an app store model.
That's exactly right. And it's been so important. We have had some real success with customers like Chipotle and Great Clips who really embraced us as a foundational technology platform, right, as they were building their marketing, digital marketing strategy. And, you know, I tell customers all the time, please don't chase that shiny object. Please make sure your foundation is something that is positioning you for growth. And if we're there, or, you know, there's a way for you to understand the performance of all of these other tactics that you want to turn on within your ecosystem, you're just positioned for success, right? You can really grow and scale. And again, and you know what works, and in some cases, even more importantly, you know what doesn't, and you can turn it off without a lot of pain.
Yeah, that's great. I love that model. Now, so let's talk about, you mentioned Chipotle. I would love to hear a few examples of either Chipotle or any other examples you want to give of, you know, any quantifiable evidence of bringing them value in whatever KPIs or metrics you generally use to kind of measure that success. So I'd, you know, love to hear just kind of some of those examples.
Yeah, so we started working with Chipotle in June of 2017, and we really were one of their foundational partners that they then went and launched, you know, their app and online ordering and ultimately loyalty. And, you know, they've given us some credit, and they've been very kind to us as they, you know, they put out a press release in June where they stated that in 2018, their digital engagement was up 100% and their revenue was up 10%. As a business, and they attributed, you know, some of that success to the platform that we're helping enable for them. So they can really, you know, look directly at some of the work that we've done and how it's really moving the needle for them in a big way.
Yeah. And while we're talking about numbers, I should also mention, just kind of for background, some of the things that you guys list on your website in terms of scale. And you're working with 65 brands, 10,000 transactions. Is that an annual figure?
We're at 100 million transactions.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I saw 100 million locations. And
it's 10,000 locations.
Yeah. So I've actually flipped those.
Yes.
10,000 locations. That makes a lot more sense. Excuse me. And 100 million transactions. Okay. Just to put some kind of context around that for our audience. Now, how about, you know, we talked about Chipotle, and you have these kind of focused verticals where presumably your technology maps well in terms of capability. And those are some probably obvious ones in terms of listeners that are hearing your capabilities. It's retail, convenience, grocery, I believe restaurants is another one. What does that list look like, and any other kind of untapped areas where you believe your technology maps well that you might, like, you know, be opportunities for expansion in the horizon that you can talk about at least?
Sure. Well, we're continuing to look at, you know, the online retail space and you know, how we can help enable, you know, online retail too. One of the things that we're doing a lot in the restaurant world in particular is, you know, the online order as well. So of course, yes, to your point, we cover all of the real retail verticals from a capability standpoint. So you think anywhere that there's a point of sale system where a transaction occurs, we can integrate and help connect the dots between that, the media and the promotions that are coming into that point of sale. And then, you know, back in that bi-directional real-time data
feed. So quick side note there, when we're subdividing retail into different, like, types of products, are there any types of products that, you know, where your value resonates more? Like, for example, with, like, the frequency of the purchase or the margin. So, for example, the difference between a car, which is bought every, you know, 3 to 4 years versus, you know, apparel, where it's a lower value but higher frequency transaction.
You know, I think from the standpoint of tracking and, you know, understanding the performance of campaigns, I think there is equal importance across all categories. I think that what we help to do is shine a light on those tactics or those programs that are better geared towards certain categories. Does that make sense?
I mean, it does.
We're kind of the point of truth, right?
Yeah.
Across any of them. And so I think we help merchants. I say all the time, you know, I want for marketing to be more of a science than an art.
Yeah.
where we can really help these merchants understand what is working for them and what's moving the needle versus what isn't.
Yeah, and when it's a science, it's repeatable, which is a good thing.
Correct.
Now, so I cut you off. You were talking about the different kind of broader areas. You mentioned restaurants, retail. What else is on that list?
Well, as we look more broadly at our retail landscape and are continuing to grow the merchant network, you know, that obviously opens opportunities for CPGs, right, who may want to understand the performance of their campaigns across merchant, which is a very interesting thing, you know, to understand. And, you know, I you know, as we talk to brands, and I think they would love it if we were integrated everywhere today. But that's, you know, that's been a building process. But I think as we get more reach in the retail landscape, there's a big opportunity for CPGs to come in and understand the performance of their media too.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Before we go to our lightning round, one kind of final question in this chapter. What are you working on now that you're most excited about, and what can we expect from Sparkfly in 2020?
So we're growing exponentially. I mean, it's you know, we're a very focused group of people. We have been very heads down on growing our retail and QSR merchant landscape, showing the true scalability of our platform, you know, as hundreds of millions of transactions, and the fact that, you know, we really can handle enormous volumes. And as you can imagine, that's led to some very interesting partner conversations that, you know, we're excited about how we can help, you know, some of these larger networks really understand the value of their advertisers as they're trying to understand that real-time attribution and show ROI. So I think, you know, 2020 is exciting to me because I'm seeing kind of all of these years of work and integration work and turning on all of these retailers just really grow in from an understanding in the retail market, as well as you know, some of these partnerships that we're working on.
Yeah, and it sounds like the opportunity is, you know, perpetual in terms of not just we talked about vertical expansion, but also capability and feature expansion. Because, you know, with that platform model that we discussed earlier, you know, it seems like the opportunity is to really just kind of dip into all of these different functional areas that are increasingly growing for merchants, whether it be CRM and payroll and just all of these interconnected functions, right?
It's true. I mean, it's just so interesting to watch the innovations continue, right? And being able to power so much of that back into the store is just a really interesting place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so we're going to pause there for a commercial break. When we come back, more from Catherine Tabor. Hello, everyone. This is Mike Boland, lead analyst at Street Fight, and I'd like to talk to you today about Brandify, which is Street Fight's parent company. It's a local marketing company that provides a range of services for brands with brick-and-mortar store locations. So that's everything from retail stores to restaurants and moving companies and banks and healthcare providers and several other verticals. And Brandify manages the digital outposts where most consumers encounter these businesses today. So we're talking Google Maps and Facebook, Yelp, Apple Maps, and Bing. And the name of the game is really to create a compelling presence on these sites and apps and to engage with consumers more effectively using advanced reputation management tools. And this is all really compelled by the fact that 97% of consumers regularly search online for local businesses. So brands today can't afford to be missing from all those channels or lack multimedia content or contact information or visible responses to customer feedback. So Brandify synthesizes and optimizes all these channels through a local marketing platform. And it's all about standing out and winning the loyalty and lifetime value of tech-savvy consumers. So to learn more, visit Brandify.com. So we're back. My guest is Catherine Tabor. So Catherine, before the break, we were talking all about the ins and outs of Sparkfly, your areas of expansion, the kind of the strategies that you've built into the platform model, lots of interesting stuff. So now we are going to phase into our fun lightning round that we like to do with our guests to find out a little bit more about you. So let's dive right into it. So what's something about you that few people know about?
I go to the farmer's market every Saturday morning, early, like at dawn. I think they're, you know, when you're in a world of entrepreneurship where things take forever, I think cooking is something that has a definite end.
Yeah.
So I enjoy going to the farmer's market cooking.
Okay. So what's a profession you'd want to have if you weren't doing what you do now?
So, you know, and I hope it's a profession I have one day, actually, but I would love to, you know, own some land, maybe a small like bed and breakfast, an inn. I think all going back to that, you know, loving to be close to the earth and creating things in that way. So I think I would be doing that.
Yeah, I actually grew up on a farm, so I can relate to that. So what is the company or tech startup that you think it would be most exciting to be a part of at early stages?
So I think Virgin Airlines, Virgin in general would be one. You know, I am a big fan of Richard Branson. I think, you know, he is someone who, you know, certainly is charismatic and has big ideas, but he's also kind and thoughtful and, you know, really cares about people. So I think being around that kind of leader, with that big idea and, you know, knowing the stories of, you know, the ups and downs and ins and outs of that, the beginnings of that business, I would have loved to have been there at the beginning of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, publishing and air travel and even space travel. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that in terms of big ideas. And to your point about he's just so kind of gracious, if you can go back in some of the back episodes of Shark Tank, he was one of the, you know, the celebrity guest sharks. And it's a very ruthless environment, but he was just so nice the whole time. And it was very interesting to see.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite tech product or app that you like to use as a consumer?
It has to be my iPhone.
Yeah. Nice.
Right. I mean, it's changed my life. It's where I can work from anywhere. Maybe that's not a good thing, but I, you know, that has made the most impact on me.
So earlier we talked about, you know, superhero backstory. What's the superhero power that you would most want to have?
You know, I think mine would be being invisible. I would love to be on a fly on the wall. Sometimes I think knowledge is power. And I think, you know, just being able to understand the true motivations of people sometimes would be a very powerful superpower to have.
Absolutely. I like that one. That's actually an answer we haven't gotten yet. So what are some passions or hobbies that help you mentally unplug from work? You already mentioned the farmer's market. We can go with that answer, or if there's any else you want to add.
I love to be outside. I love to hike. My family and I went to Switzerland over the summer and hiked and biked. And I think for me, you know, that just gives you perspective, right? I spend so much time in front of a computer, in front of a screen, that just being outdoors in nature is my favorite place to be.
Yeah.
Which, you know, lends itself, I mean, farmer's market, all that, it's all kind of intertwined.
Yeah, Switzerland is one of my favorite spots in the world. I mean, all of those kind of cantons in like central Switzerland, where it's just like straight out of a fairy tale. And then, I mean, it's chocolate cheese. Where can you go wrong?
Yeah. Have you been to Lauterbrunnen?
I've been all through the country and probably at least passed through. Or, I mean, I went to most of the usual suspects, you know, places on the, you know, Zurich and then Geneva and places like Lucerne and, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember my favorite place was a place called Zug, just Z-U-G, which was just hilly, beautiful, again, straight out of a fairy tale. So lastly, we talked about Sparkfly company goals and what we can expect throughout the rest of 2019 and 20. What about you? What are your personal goals for the remainder of 2019?
You know, I think for me, it's all about balance. My goal is balance. I think I'm very focused on the success of Sparkfly, and feel very strongly about my obligation to customers and employees and shareholders, and I take my job very seriously. I'm also the mom of a 13-year-old and a wife, and I think carving out those times for myself and my health, and just times to for thought, is part of what I'm really working to be better at.
Yeah, that's a good lesson for all of us. So that's actually a great place to end it, and that's all the time we have. So I want to thank you, Catherine, for spending time with us.
Thank you so much. This has been a real pleasure.
Yeah, this was fun. And thank you all for listening, and stay tuned for future episodes of Heard on the Street. You can find us on streetfightmag.com, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Also, stay tuned for lots more writings and multimedia from Street Fight. So this has been Heard on the Street. I'm Mike Boland. Thanks for listening.